Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in downtown Washington, D.C. Today, of course, is the 16th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, and I don't have to tell you what happened on that day. But I worry about the effects of that day and many, many others on the American psyche. Yesterday, I was at a political event, and I had the sheer joy and privilege of getting to cradle a nine-week-old puppy. It was a Maltese, a little white Maltese, and she was adorable. Oh, my God. She, you know, would nibble on my hands and bite my nose and lick me, and I got to hold her and cradle her, and she fell asleep in my arms. Sure made the political event fun. Hey, I like politics, but the puppy stole my heart. And I started thinking about a different kind of puppy, a different kind of dog. And I love dogs. I think dogs are the best creatures on the planet. Sorry, you cat lovers. Dogs are the best. But you ever seen a dog in a shelter? Maybe it's a puppy, too. Maybe it's 6 months, 9 months old. And you come up to it, and it cowers away. It doesn't run and jump into your arms and hug you the way most dogs do. This one shies away. This one is afraid. This one whimpers. This one, if you go up to it, corners away, and if you get really close, will bark. Might well bite. That's a dog, of course, you know, has been abused. A dog, unlike this adorable little puppy I got to hold yesterday, that has had a hard life, has trusted and had that trust not be returned. Yes, of course, some human beings are cruel to animals, cruel to dogs, and most dogs suffer with it for years later. I have so much love for those people who will actually take an abused dog. They're so much harder to take than just a new puppy. New puppies are just a joy. But a dog that's been abused, a dog that's been mistreated, a dog that has post-traumatic stress, it's very hard to get that dog to trust again. It takes generally years, not weeks, not months, years of kindness to undo the pain of a dog that's been abused. The same is true double with people. If a child is abused, if a teenager, if someone is abused by their intimate partner, it can take weeks, months, years to get over it. If you're in the military and you've seen your buddies die, or you've been attacked by terrorists, maybe you knew someone on September 11th, that can also take a very, very long time to heal. Heck, if you're out there and you see someone lost in a flood, that can take a long time to heal as well. I fear that our body politic suffers from this post-traumatic stress. I feel like, and this, by the way, this isn't a Republican or Democratic thing. I've seen it on both sides. I've seen it on the left and the right and the center and certainly on the fringe, where people are so angry, they just can't think anymore. And I get it. I get it. Some people think, oh, Mark, you know, you're a state legislator, and you know, you've worked in Congress, and you've gone to all these Ivy League schools, and you know, no, I get it. I get it when confronted with things that I don't understand. If my car isn't working and I go to a shop and they sell me something I don't need and it's still not working, I get really upset. And if it happens to me at a second shop and then a third shop, I just want to scream. I don't trust any of them. That doesn't mean all my car mechanics are terrible. It just means that I, Mark Levine, don't understand how cars work. And it makes me very angry. I remember one time in a foreign country when I tried to develop some pictures. And I didn't realize, because they didn't mark it on the sign, that you know that they have all these extra charges that they were putting on my bill, and I didn't understand it. I wasn't in that language. I just wanted to develop my film like we did in the United States, at least we did 20 years ago. It's that lack of understanding that makes people very, very angry. Again, I don't mean I couldn't understand car mechanics. I'm sure if I studied it, I could understand it. I just don't. Same is true with medical care. If someone you love is dying, and you don't know whether it's because she or he got inadequate care or because she or he got unlucky and it's just their time. But if you've gotten inadequate care at one point or another, you don't trust anyone. You don't trust any doctors or nurses. If you don't understand something, but you know you've been mistreated, you get really angry. And that's completely understandable. Unfortunately, it doesn't lend itself to solutions. Ask any 5-year-old child who's angry that his big brother or big sister won't play with him, right? He'll be the first to take a tower of blocks and kick it and knock it down and have a brief satisfaction in seeing it all crumble to the ground. But building a tower is much, much harder than kicking one down. And building a political system that works, finding policies that actually succeed, is far, far harder than the tantrum it takes to tear something down. You can just look at the example of repealing Obamacare, right? I mean, the Affordable Care Act has lots of problems. I'll be the first to tell you that I support universal health care, Medicare for all. The Affordable Care Act, which they call Obamacare, used to be called Romney Care after Republican Governor Mitt Romney, who got it from a conservative think tank at the Heritage Foundation. It is not a liberal solution. It is better than the prior alternative of just letting people die and having health care costs go through the roof. It's not perfect. But the Republicans never once tried to fix it, tried to make it better, tried to recognize there are many, many good things in the Affordable Care Act. Everything from no discrimination against people with pre-existing conditions or allowing young people to stay on their parents' policies. They never tried to tinker with it. They just said, repeal it! And then later on, when people seemed to understand that nihilism was not a good political strategy, they said, repeal and replace! To which every Democrat I know said, replace with what? Did you hear me? I said, repeal and replace! Yeah, I heard you. I said, replace with what? It's terrible! Well, I agree it has some problems. Let's talk about those problems. No, we have to repeal it! Okay, but replace it with what? To which Republicans would say behind the scenes, we don't have to worry about that. The Democrats are in power right now. No one will complain if we just go to repeal it. And indeed, they voted to repeal it again and again, knowing President Obama would veto it. Same's true with immigration. Immigration is a complex question. There were many bipartisan bills on immigration reform. Then President Obama got in power, and all the Republicans, including John McCain, who sometimes I respect, flip-flopped because being against is so much easier than being for. Talking about problems is so much easier than coming up with solutions. Immigration is a problem. Build a wall. Build a wall. Well, you know, how high would the wall be? I don't care. Just build a wall. Well, a 40-foot wall can be gotten over by a 45-foot ladder. Build the wall. Well, they could dig under it Or maybe we need to look and see why people are coming to this country and what economic factors brings them there and how we can reform our immigration system. That's too complicated. Build a wall. Build a wall. You can just see the child, the six-year-old, having a tantrum because this tower no longer exists because he knocked it down. Just as I might have a tantrum if I don't get my car fixed because I don't understand auto mechanics. And I feel like at least one or two people cheated me. Or if I don't understand medical care. Or if I don't understand anything. With any problem that comes our way, there are two possibilities. What's difficult is to study, is to learn, is to trust the experts. Climate change, right? Climate change is very difficult. I mean, humans have been creating more and more pollution for at least a century now, closer to two. And it causes the climate to warm up, and that causes hurricanes to intensify, and that causes damages like we had at Irma and Harvey. That's complex stuff. And you could study it, try to understand it, and come up with complex solutions, because it requires complex solutions, like an international system of carbon credits and all these things that go over most people's heads, mine too sometimes. Particularly a lot of the environmental stuff. I don't know all the different compounds and what they do. It's a lot easier just to say, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. Don't buy it. It's a hoax. Build a wall. Make America great again. Has there ever been an emptier slogan? What the heck does that mean? The slogan, by the way, comes from Ronald Reagan. Sorry, Donald didn't even invent that. What did Ronald Reagan mean when he said it? What does Donald Trump mean when he says it? What do Trumpists mean when they say it? How come no reporter in the United States of America that I've heard, and please, if one has, let me know, post it. You can post it on Facebook or on my website. How come not a single reporter has asked Donald Trump or any Trumpist, so you think America is no longer great? Interesting. When was it great? If we're going to make it great again, when was it great? 1986? 1965? 1947? Come on. We want to make America great again. When was it great? It's a great question. Because they can't answer it. Because every single year in American history, you will find we had imperfections. Every year. And some years worse than others, to be sure. It's an empty slogan. But I understand how empty slogans rile people up. And I got to say, this isn't just a problem on the right. This is a problem on the left as well. How many people will go out and protest, but stay home when it's time to vote? How many people will join the Women's March and then not join their local Democratic Party? How many people will complain that the system is rigged and then not seek to find out what the truth is and or become an election monitor? You think the system's rigged? Go out and monitor the polls. You can do that, you know. It's so much easier to complain. It's so much easier to scream, to knock it down than to build it up. I can give 100 problems in the world, but can I come up with a solution? Can you? I'm tired of people screaming at each other. I'm tired of the primal scream of the public, which has become the primal scream of the republic. We've got to come up with solutions, not just scream about the problems. I'll talk more about this after the break. If you want to join in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I understand the primal scream of the Republic. I do. I understand the public's primal scream. I mean, think about if you're a young black man in America, and everywhere you go, the police are harassing you, whether you're walking, whether you're driving. If you're unarmed, then people can shoot you. And if you are armed, they're even more likely to shoot you. There's no safe place. You don't trust anyone. You just want to scream. Or maybe you're a Latino immigrant in Arizona. And maybe you're a citizen, an American citizen born here. But because you look a certain way or have a certain accent, the sheriff of that county assumes you're a foreigner and is looking for ways to mistreat you, might even bring you to a prison, a jail, not even a prison, not even convicted of something, for not having papers, even though you're an American citizen, and forced to eat substandard food, where he, of course, tortured and killed people in the heat and the cold. Or imagine you're a white person in the rural South, and all the industry is gone. The factory your dad and your granddad works are closed, and you can't get a job. And all you see around you is drug abuse and people leaving the neighborhood. There's no hope. The man has got you. There are no jobs. All those rich people in the cities, they're doing well. What about you? And maybe you've been taught racism. You've been taught to hate blacks. You've been taught to hate Latinos and immigrants. But your dad did it. Your granddad did it. What about you? Or maybe you're a woman who is just trying to have an equal shot at success and is constantly told, you know, thanks, little lady. You know, we're under control here, but you have the answers. You know the science. And they're just not listening. Or if you're gay or lesbian or transgender or Jewish or Muslim or heck, even Catholic in some places, or atheist. We all know what it's like to be alone, to be on the outs, to be unaccepted. Maybe you're disabled. Maybe you have a speech impediment. Maybe you have some skin disease. Nobody's perfect. And people around you are quick to judge. As an individual, you can be all alone. But you know where we come together? Do you know where we feel as one? When the community gets together to help another. When the floods hit Texas and Florida, it was truly beautiful to see all the communities, all the people coming out in their boats, coming out, checking on their neighbor, knowing that we are part of the larger world, the larger community, having people, strangers, look out for us instead of strangers attacking us. It does take a village to build a community, and the primal scream is all about being alone. Got more when I come back. 888-488-MARK. Back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I was thinking during the break about people who are all alone, people who want to join the primal scream, and I had to go back to the very first thing I said this hour. I had to go back to my abused puppy. No one is more alone than the victim of abuse. Because the victim of abuse looks for guidance, looks for love from the natural sources, and they've all turned against him or her. Right? An abused child looks to a parent for safety. But if the parent is causing the abuse, the child has nowhere to go. An abused puppy dog looks to the owner for a caress or some food or some play. And if the owner of the dog mistreats the dog has nowhere to go. Women who've been sexually abused or are the victims of domestic violence, and they come and they tell their friends about the awful thing that happened to them And if their friends start saying, well, why were you wearing that? Or why were you out at that hour? Or why did you trust him? Suddenly, her safety is gone. She thought her friends, of all people, would understand. And although most victims of sexual abuse and domestic violence are women, the men who are the victims of domestic abuse and sexual violence are even less likely to be listened to than the women. When you're abused, you're all alone. It can be an abuse from the justice system. It can be abuse from the authorities. It can be an abuse by complicated globalization that is way beyond any individual's control. If you're a blacksmith, a village blacksmith, and you have learned the art of making horseshoes for generations in the 1700s and 1800s, and you're really good at it, you make the best horseshoes, and then comes this horseless carriage, and your way of life is, dare I say, gone with the wind. And the same is true of people who've been working in coal for generations, or working in manufacturing for generations. These jobs are no more. And out comes a demagogue promising you, oh, he's going to bring coal back. No, he's not. He's not bringing the village blacksmith back either. And no, agriculture, which was once 80% of Americans' professions, will never go higher than 3% again. We live in a new world, a new, complex, and complicated world. And it's not because of the immigrants. We've always had immigrants in America. We are a nation of immigrants. It's not because people are of different races. It's not because people in ivory towers are controlling your life. Well, I take that one back a little bit. Because it is true that CEOs of corporations are focused on how to make hundreds of millions of dollars while ordinary Americans are struggling to survive on the minimum wage. I don't mean to say there aren't very powerful forces out there, but the way to fight those forces is not to sit and scream. It's not to have violence. And here I've got to say to some of my friends on the left, I mean, I like protests. I attend protests. I've led many a protest. I like to speak at protests. But protests alone are not enough. Even the great Martin Luther King understood that. It was his protests that led to real change, that led to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that led to the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Protesting has to be toward something, toward a goal. It cannot be a primal scream. When people shout down speakers they don't like, that's a primal scream. Don't shout them down. Teach people why that person is wrong. Show the other side. When someone's in pain, seek to understand their pain. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It just means that that's how we move forward. Maybe, I don't know. I know we've been divided in American history before. God knows we were in the Civil War. Certainly we were in the 60s. It's kind of just before my time. But I can't remember a time in my life when we've ever felt so divided, where we've ever lived in our red and blue enclaves, where some of us watch Fox News and other of us watch MSNBC, and we don't even talk to each other. We don't live next to each other. The cities are isolated from rural America, and everyone just screams at each other on Facebook, on YouTube. If you've ever looked at any of my videos on YouTube, you will see long lists of commenters screaming at each other. It's a silent medium, and they're still screaming. One of the favorite ways to attack me is with anti-Semitism. Somehow, I go on Fox News, and I don't even say I'm Jewish. I am Jewish. I have a Jewish last name, but I'm talking about the deficit, or North Korea, or climate change, or Donald Trump's Russian collusion, and suddenly a whole string of horrific anti-Semitic things, I mean, including things that verge on threats of violence. Now, I haven't talked about anything relating to anything Jewish at all. But it's seen, aha, he's Jewish. We'll attack him that way. If they knew I was gay, they'd, I'm sure, give me a whole string of homophobic comments. If I were African-American, I would get the racist stuff, or Latino. Or, you know what? And I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, folks. I'm not just gay and Jewish. I'm also a Southerner. There's some anti-Southern prejudice out there. You know, redneck, right? You must be stupid if you're from the South. You'd think Bill Clinton, of all people, could have convinced people, no, there's some really smart people with Southern accents. There's all kinds of prejudice out there. But all of that is an ad hominem attack. It's a personal attack. It's a primal attack. It doesn't deal with the issues. It does remain easier to knock something down than to build it up. And yes, I see it on the left. I see it with attacks on the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party's not perfect. But I see all these people on the left saying the primary election was rigged. No, it wasn't. Okay, you like Bernie. He lost, all right? You can argue why Bernie's better than Hillary. Fine. But don't argue the system was rigged. It wasn't. And, oh, I know people. I used to go on WPFW, Washington, D.C. And my co-radio host on that station is now defending fascism because he's screaming. He's in the primal scream. He doesn't quite know he's defending fascism. No, what he does is he speaks on a Russian station controlled by Vladimir Putin. He doesn't criticize Putin. Heck, even Tom Hartman. I'm sorry, I'm going after everyone now. He's a liberal guy. I like Tom. He's on a Russian station. He doesn't criticize Putin. And Putin is in league with the fascists now. That's right, the far left and the far right, some of these terms don't matter anymore. It is Vladimir Putin putting forward the far right. And when you go out there and you tell people that the Democratic Party is hopelessly corrupt, and you can't vote for the Democrats, and you can't vote for the Republicans, and you need to just stay home and scream, well, that reminds me of the abused puppy hiding under the table. It's not good for the puppy. It's not good for anybody. We need to start working on some hard solutions. Republicans are now licking their wounds because Donald Trump agreed with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer on a relatively minor thing, but okay, on the 3-month extension of the debt ceiling. They like their primal scream. What was their primal scream? We're going to shut the government down. America's going to default on its debt. We'll have worldwide depression. That'll show you. That'll show you. Hey, I'm going to set myself on fire, and you'll have to watch it. That'll show you. Not really. It's kind of counterproductive. I guess it's what a suicide terrorist thinks. I'll die, but I'll show you. You'll suffer too. Instead of trying to make others suffer more and more and more, how about trying to build people up? How about going out in a hurricane, saving your neighbor? How about getting involved and registering in elections? If you don't like where the Democratic Party is going, fine. Run someone in a primary. Run yourself for office. Make your point. Make your argument. Join the local Democratic committee. The same is true of the Republican Party, folks. If you don't like that Trump is taking control of the Republican Party and you're a Republican, fight back for your party. But don't let me hear you complain. Well, you know, nobody represents me. The government's terrible, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You are lucky to be living in a republic. You are lucky to be living in a democracy where you can choose your own leaders. We've got all kinds of problems in America. I'll be the first to agree with you. You know, you hear me every day. I mean, we've got money in politics corrupting society. We've got pollution. We've got people ignoring climate change. I can go on and on about problems. But the one thing I will not accept is the argument, the anarchist argument, that it's all corrupt, it's all hopeless, I'm hiding under my bed, I'm an abused puppy, I understand the pain, but screaming and biting is not the answer. It is hard to build things. It is much more fun to knock them down. Ask any child, right? I mean, it's so much more fun to kick a sandcastle than to build one. You could do it in a second. The Republican Party has been the party of no now for more than a decade. The party of kicking and destroying and screaming and crying. They still don't have any solutions. I mean, the Trumpists are fighting with the establishment. They don't have any answers. They don't have any programs. And yes, there are some on the left, and I include my former co-host on radio, who have no solutions either. They attack everybody, attack Democrats, attack Republicans. You know what? You don't love Jill Stein either. She's got issues too. Nothing is perfect. So get your hands dirty, get out on a boat, and start bringing people in from the storm. Stop complaining. Get to work. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let me start with Old Faithful, Michael from the Bronx, on line four. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Mark. How you doing? You know, it's funny, with all the things that you have pointed out on the 16th anniversary of 9/11, what is so intriguing is that we will first hear from, you know, of course we hear from Democrats, but we're hearing from Republicans about never forget the victims, never forget the atrocity that occurred. But quite frankly, when you think about it, there are people that are forgetting. There are people that are forgetting that the 3,000-plus lives that were lost, they weren't all white. They were not all black. No. They were not all one of the same religion. Mm-hmm. There were a multitude mm-hmm. of races, multitude of religions, multitude of genders, sexual orientations, whatever you call it. The thing is, the people that perish all bled the same color.
And you know what, Michael? You know who the heroes were? The heroes were the firefighters, the police, the people who didn't run away but ran toward trouble, ran to try to save lives. You know, there's as horrible as today, the 16th anniversary is, let us all remember that in our hardest of times, and again, we see it with the recent hurricane, Americans can come together, do come together, put aside their petty differences, and actually work to make this country better. And it's hard work, but we can do it. We have the heart. Let's stop bickering.
So, Mark, my problem is, and I'm with you 100%, but just as when people come together, then just a month or two down the line, do you start hearing the divisive rhetoric again? Okay. And it's usually coming from the right-wing side, from the Republicans that want to negate African-Americans, want to negate Mexicans, negate Latinos, negate Muslims. And you know who I am speaking of here.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump is trying to divide us. And Vladimir Putin is trying to divide us. And the answer, but the answer is we need to look out for everyone's problems, for rural white people and for urban black people, for immigrants and for women, and everyone, young and old. We can do this together. And the thing that gets me the most angry is when people just end up screaming and don't – it's hard work to build solutions. It is. It's hard work. But the screaming gets us nowhere.
But Mark, let's also not forget the many people who want to serve in the military or want to serve and do good for this nation in other ways, but they are turned away because they don't look normal and stuff like that.
I hear you,
Mike. You know what I mean?
I do. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. I'm going to get to some of the other calls right after the break. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Last segment, last chance to call in. I've spoken a lot. I want to hear from you. Right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Just a few minutes left. Is America suffering from PTSD? What's causing the primal scream of the public, and what can we do about it? Let's go to Jeff, line three in Shreveport, Louisiana. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to you in a long time, and I want to apologize first if my voice is slurred. I've been in the hospital for a week.
Sorry to hear that.
But, any case, though, I'm debating right now with some people, some conservatives, because I told them that they respect the police treating us like the Gestapo. They respect our rights being run over. You know, in Sheriff Arpaio, for instance, you know, the right loves him because he breaks the laws. He's mean to people.
Yeah,
and this is something I've noticed in the right. And as a matter of fact, I used to be a Republican until about 1994. And I saw how hateful I was being, and I left the party. It was a hate group. You know, and so, but with Arpaio, how can I put this? The Latino, the innocent Latino and the guilty Latino, it doesn't matter. It's just
when
you lynch a black person in the 30s, 20s, the teens, you know, it didn't matter who you lynched. That you lynched someone.
And I actually did an entire show on Arpaio that you can catch. So I hope people will listen into that. I need to move on to one more caller, but thank you very much for adding those comments. I really do appreciate it. Let's go to my last caller, Max, in Arlington, Virginia, line five. Hey, Max.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. What do you think? Does America suffer from PTSD? Is that why we're screaming at each other?
Mark, that is not the primary concern that we have in this country. I've sent you several messages. You'll get to them, I'm sure, soon, Scoop Insight and whatever. But what we need in this country is not squabbling about minimum wage increases. That's all we do, just about. What we need in this country is companies, corporations, providing employees with decent, sustained incomes, much more than they can get through minimum wages.
What are you doing to make that happen?
Well, right now I'm talking to you. Okay.
Okay, but I already support that. So what?
Well, we're not doing it. Who's advocating for it? I haven't heard anybody who's running for governor of Virginia or attorney general or lieutenant governor.
Oh, absolutely. All the Democrats, every one of them, all three of them that are running at the national level. In fact, every Democratic delegate I know supports higher wages for American workers.
That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about increasing minimum wage.
Not just minimum wage. Higher wages across the board, a living wage.
No, more than what is called a living wage, Mark. Let me suggest that you go to a website that explains it a lot more better than I can in this time that we have. It's called CREA, CREA.org.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
We can pass around websites and it's all well and good, but I want to know specifically.
Information is a real good.
No, information's good. And listen, I will be the first to admit that income inequality is one of the reasons why I think there's so much anger and frustration out there. But it's not just enough to talk to each other. We've got to get out and spread the word and get people to vote.
That's what I'm trying to do.
So we can make
right
a difference.
Now, Mark.
Okay.
I'm trying to get your attention. Well, I don't think there is really enough attention given to sustainable living incomes. It's really not.
Well, I'll tell you, you got to start somewhere. And I would say that a minimum wage is a decent place to start. But I agree, we need better wages across the board. And we don't need such high wages for the multimillionaires. My time's up. I'm afraid it's all the time we have. Get out there, make a difference. This is Mark Levine signing off.